My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, October 2nd, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to shows. Give the show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, if you want to take your love of this show to a subterranean level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe. It's $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 601. There's no guest. It's just me alone in my apartment early on a Saturday morning, giving you some high quality podcasting. My apologies to the rabid listeners of this show for not putting out an episode last week. I was really busy. I spent some time out of town taking care of some stuff, and now I'm back. I'm thinking I'm back. Keanu Reeves, John Wick. So, great John Wick impression. Eat your heart out, JL. So I'm back and glad to be back. I just didn't want to, you know, I didn't take my equipment with me, and I kind of wanted to see how a lo-fi production of the show would be on my iPhone. But I just said, you know what? I'm just going to take some time off. I've given you 600 episodes over the course of 10 years. There's a back catalog. I can see there's some that a lot of people haven't listened to, and you probably should, because it's really good, I think. But yeah, I was away and now I'm back. I was just busy with stuff. A lot's happened since episode 600. That was a really fun episode with Rod to do that. That was really cool. I'm happy that he was able to do it with me, and it's fun. I really you know, this is a very tiny operation. This is the little podcast that could, and this is kind of in a world where things can often go crazy. This has been my sanctuary in a lot of ways. It's helped me get through stuff. It's just the exercise of doing it has changed my life for the better. Financially, no, but but it's changed my life in a lot of positive ways, where getting to have conversations with my friends, people who have become friends through doing this, and the conversations that we have, not only on air, on mic, but the ones that we have off mic, and that community, being a part of a podcast community that is really it's been beneficial to me in a lot of ways. And I'm going to try to keep doing it for as long as I can. And it's cool to have the fun guests, the really like big time guests that have been on the show. Those have been really awesome. And I'll hold those near and dear. But it has been a lot of these conversations that you hear with that I've had with Rod, Randolph, Andy, Tim, you know, the homie Damian Lemon, JL, all the regulars that have come on and done the show. Those are to me just as important and carry as much or probably even more weight than some of these really cool ones that I've had with people like Howard Bryant, Van Hunt, Fonte, you name it. It's been a lot of really cool guests that have stopped by this show, and it's been really fun to do. And I'm going to keep trying to bring it to you for as long as I can. So this week I got put on some shows at Bananas Comedy Club. Hadn't been there since maybe like February or March. And I think that's a club that I get to work like twice a year. Cause you have like openers, you know, the rotation's pretty, I think that clientele goes to a lot of shows and, you know, you don't see the same fucking person there opening up the shows. So I'm opening for Rich Voss. It's pretty cool. Cause it's a two-hander. So I just do like 20 minutes or so and then bring him up and there you go. It's a nice two-hander. I always like doing two-handers. It's pretty fun. And so that was cool to get to do some shows, make a little bread, get a free meal, and that's always good. And it's down at the so by the time you hear this, the shows will be over. It's just three shows in Rutherford, New Jersey. Last night there was a Georgetown's football team is in town and they were staying at the hotel. They were getting dinner and the team got like pizzas and Gatorade and water and stuff. And they were getting ready. Guys, those guys were not that big. I think they're playing Fordham tomorrow or they're playing Fordham today. As I'm recording this, they'll be playing them. Guys aren't that big. And it's like, I guess those kids are, you could just tell those kids are really smart. I don't know what that division is, but they, you know, that, but, you know, God bless those young men. Yeah. I forgot that they had a football team, but they do. They're playing Fordham. So they play over, they play in, I think it's the Bronx. And then, they stayed in Rutherford. I said, I guess that's not that. Yeah, it's not that far. And the Renaissance is a nice hotel. Bananas is in a Renaissance hotel in Rutherford next to a Life Storage and Medieval Times. I think it's the Medieval Times that's referenced in the great Zach Braff film Garden State. And, it's normally in this conference room, and this really big conference room. It used to be off Route 17 at a Holiday Inn for a long time, and since the pandemic, it like they moved it maybe like 7-8 minutes down, 7 minutes south on Route 17 at a bigger hotel. But yeah. So, and I guess the Georgetown event was bigger with all those kids, all those players and stuff. And so they moved us to a smaller room and I never played that smaller room. And it was cool. I had a good set. I ended up doing 28 minutes last night and I was nervous because I hadn't done a set in about a month because I just haven't. I've just been busy and haven't done a set since the gig I did in Staten Island. I was a little nervous, but ended up doing time. And the manager was like, oh, you did. Cause she was giving me a light. And I thought that was like a 5 minute light. So I just wrapped up and I was like, oh, I did. I went over. I was like, oh shit. And then she said, well, tomorrow just cause we didn't even talk about time. So I don't want to be that comic to just fucking go over. I hate that shit. I just like doing my time and just getting the fuck off. I was listening to some comics talk about like ego. I think it was a black comic who it might have been black, Might have been Gary. That's so funny. I said black comic, and then I'm about to say Gary Owen. But I think Gary Owen was talking to a black comic, and they were talking about like doing time or doing like doing these like big shows at a theater where there's like a bunch of men and women who could headline doing a big show together. And some people try to go overtime and try to take people's time away and do this ego bullshit. And I think Gary and the other con was like, yeah, just, you know, I'll just do my 20 and I'll get the fuck out. I'm still getting paid the same. And I'm just going to do my time and get the fuck off stage. Like, it's like sometimes I'll just stop in the middle of when you get the light or you know that it's almost time to go and they won't even finish the joke. And you just be like, oh, okay, good night. You know, so I'm really a stickler about that. And some you lose track. And I was like, oh my God, I'm nervous. Do I still know how to do comedy? Then I do fucking almost a half hour. But nobody got mad. It was only one show that night and we didn't really talk about, we talked about time, but not about the light, you know? So that felt good that I had a good set and, that I wasn't, you know, I got some really good laughs and stuff. So yeah, I feel good about that. And I'm thankful for this time because, I'm doing a gig with the homie, JL Covan, in York, Pennsylvania on the 14th at the Strand Capitol Theater at the Appel Center for the Performing Arts. So JL is headlining that show. I'm opening and it's going to be a good time. I'm excited. I'll be making my triumphant return to York, Pennsylvania after only a few months after hosting a live event for William Shatner. So that'll be cool. Excited about that. So I'm happy to get this work in and I'll be ready for working with the homie JL. And then later on that month, the 20th and the 23rd, later on this month, it's October. It's spooky season. All the interesting horror movies are coming out. So that's exciting. There's been some good ones too. I'll get into that a little bit. But October 20th and 23rd, I'll be at the Borgata for two shows. So that both shows are at 8. One's going to be on Thursday. The other show's going to be on Sunday. So that should be fun. It's always good to go there. I like going down to Atlantic City. A lot of people try to shit on it, but Borgata's a nice hotel. They treat you right, and you do some shows, make some people laugh. And you kind of get to, it's like a nice excursion away. It's like a nice, almost like a staycation, if you will, you know? Yeah. So I like doing that. So that's stand up. Hopefully some more stuff, more gigs will come. There's a spot in the city, that I have coming up in November. So I'm looking forward to that too. I'll post about it when I get stuff, I'll post about it. If you're interested in coming. Yeah, so that is cool. And I've been auditioning for stuff, for TV and stuff. So hopefully something will hit soon. I'm feeling like my manager feels happy about stuff. He feels optimistic, so that's good. But yeah, I've been doing that. And haven't been playing any games lately. There's a new game that it's not really new. I think I might have mentioned it before. This is this game called Tunic that got released for Nintendo Switch and PlayStation. And I, like an idiot, downloaded it on the Steam app. I just don't. There's only one game that I've played and finished on the Steam app, and that was Inside, which is, if you have not played it, it's an independent game that's really good. Gets weird towards the end. I think it came out 2015, 2016, but it is very good, and I played that. It's just playing it on my laptop. I'm like, I don't know. And then I downloaded it because I was like, well, I don't have Xbox. It initially debuted on the Xbox and Steam, and for PC, obviously. And yeah, maybe I'll get into it. I played it for about an hour and it's very good. It's like a top-down Zelda-like game. Instead of a little white elvish guy, you're an adorable fox that has a sword and a shield. And you fight these monsters and you unlock this game manual that looks like the instruction manuals from back in the day when you had like Nintendo and Mario and Zelda and all that. So very nostalgic. The artwork is fantastic. It's the same game company. I think it's called Finji. But let me see. It's the same company that did this game that I was telling you guys about, Night in the Woods, which was a game that Rod recommended. And I finished it last year. I think the company, let me make sure. It is Finji. Finji's that game company, the publisher rather. And I think they did also did Tunic. Yeah. So I recommend it. It's very good if you like those types of games. And then I want to go back to The Last of Us and try to platinum Part 1 for PS5. So I want to do that. And the homie Rod, you know, we were talking about it on episode 600, where he just texted me last night and said he beat Part 2 again. And I'm like, man, you got me wanting to play it again, bro. Like, it's just such an amazing game. Last night I was doing a bit. I was like refurbishing a bit I was talking about, you know, actually I wasn't refurbishing. I was just doing a bit from the album from Phil Running Back. They don't know. And that's the ego thing where it's like, these people don't know who I am. So I can do some bits to like hit them hard. And I was doing one where I was talking about GameStop and somebody laughed. I was like, yeah, I play video games. Fuck off. And I was like, have you played The Last of Us? You know what I mean? I'm trying to find a way to talk about that on stage a little more. I think when this series, oh my God, when the TV series comes out, it's going to have even a bigger fan base. But that trailer dropped on Last of Us Day, which used to be called Outbreak Day, but since COVID, you can't even have any fun anymore. This woke fucking culture stifling artistic merit or whatever, artistic license. Anyway, it was on the 26th and they released the trailer, and a bunch of people were like texting me about the trailer. I was like, I know. It looks good, man. It looks really good. And that Hank Williams song, man, I think that song was actually in the game when Ellie and Joel get to Pittsburgh and they're ambushed by these bandits. And that was the song that's on the trailer. Such a beautiful, haunting song. You know, those songs are good when you hear a person sing and you feel like they might be racist. And you're like, you know, it's a good song. You know, the singer might be racist. Oh, man. But it looks good. I'm excited to see it. And I, God willing, if this show is still going, I will be recapping that bitch on Patreon every week. I'm excited about that. I'm really excited. I can't wait. Some of the nerds are talking about they don't like Bella Ramsey as Ellie, but I hear she's a good actress. If you can act, I guess they people wanted my girl from Dope Sick, Caitlin Dever. They wanted her, and she would be a great Ellie because she looks the part. She's done stuff already that's low-key some Ellie shit anyway. She's already played a lesbian maybe more than once. She played a lesbian at least one time on Dope Sick. And she played a lesbian in Booksmart. Yeah, so, and she looks like Ellie. So she could definitely do it, but Bella Ramsey, I have not seen Game of Thrones, so I don't know. But I'm hearing that she's good. And Pedro Pascal, like, I mean, when he said his lines, whatever he said in that trailer, you don't know anything about loss or whatever it is. I was like, yeah, man. You know, I joked about Joel. Joel should be what? You know, right leaning. You know, he should be, you know. But it's like, he's going to be good. The Mandalorian is basically the game, The Last of Us. It's an escort mission, basically. And my girl, what's my girl from Euphoria playing Riley? Oh, that's so bad. Last of Us TV series. And I like her a lot. Storm Reed, from Euphoria. Somebody was saying, oh, she doesn't look like Riley. I was like, that girl is a fucking beast. So she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. You know, like it's going to be good. And I think Ashley Johnson, some people say, somebody took a clip, something from somewhere. I don't know how reputable that site was and whatever their Twitter was, but they posted that Ashley Johnson, who plays Ellie in the video game, is going to be Anna, Ellie's mother. I don't know about that. And I don't know who Troy Baker is going to be, but they're both going to be in the film. And my girl Melanie Lynskey is going to be in it. And I'm excited, man. It's going to be good. It's like, it's got Neil Druckmann's a producer. It's got his blessing. And I think it's going to be, I'm excited. I'm super excited to see what they do. So it's going to be pretty strong. A lot of stuff has been going on. Like there's like, I know everybody's talking about the Ime Udoka situation in Boston. And I'll just say this, you know, I've been talking about it with friends and stuff, and it's just, you know, everybody goes to, oh, you cheated on Nia Long and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, you know, I've just been reminded of that Chris Rock joke where he's like, for every fine ass woman, I'm butchering it, but for every fine ass woman, there's a guy that's tired of fucking her. And it has nothing to do with Nia Long. It's, you know, like you don't know. I don't know. You don't know their relationship. And that's one thing I don't really want to, you know, I'm not all, this isn't a gossip podcast, but, you know, you'd like to think for the most of us who are the plebeians, who are the peasantry of society, we would think like, yeah, man, you know, if I was dating Nia Long and I would just be totally committed and, you know, everything would be like a Jagged Edge song. Couldn't we be happily ever after? It's really early, and I'm sorry that I did that. I apologize, but sometimes that happens, you know, and sometimes you're off key when you break out in a song. Okay, so let's just kind of move past what I just did and move on. But you know, you would think that. Is that Jagged Edge? I think that's Case, right? Case is like, guess what I did today? Those are the words I said to you. It was last made on the exact day. Which one? See, now I gotta go down this rabbit hole. Happily Ever After, Jagged Edge? Is that them? Case is Happily Ever After. Wow. I'm sorry. Case is, wait a minute. Okay. Happily Ever After. Okay. That's Case, 1999. Okay. So that's Case. Jagged Edge's Let's Get Married. Meet me at the altar in your white dress. We ain't getting no young. Yeah, okay. So, sorry, guys. I'm getting old. It's early in the morning. I'm sorry that I was not on top of my 90s R&B references. As a 90s R&B connoisseur, that's pretty bad. Most podcasters would delete that and try to act like that didn't happen. But I corrected myself. I immediately corrected myself and looked that up. So, I mean, you take that for what it is. Happily Ever After was Jagged Edge. Okay. No, shit. Happily Ever After was Case. Let's Get Married was Jagged Edge. Both came out in 99 from J.E. Heartbreak. That was a great album, J.E. Heartbreak. That was a very, very good album. All right. You'd think that, like, you know, if you were with, you know, you were with like somebody like her, like I've been following Nia Long since I was a kid, I guess since like Boys in the Hood. She's just fucking beautiful, man. And, you know, you'd like to think that you would just be with that person. And there's like even not even somebody that famous. There's these women on Instagram. These Instagram models, it's like you would low-key trade it all for some of them. You know what I mean? What's the line? The line on the Tigalero album Through the Night, when Fonte is rapping about like relationships and then there's a beat change, and he talks about like risking it all for a girl on Instagram. Let me go. Oh man, now I'm down a rabbit hole, because I was thinking about that record. I was listening to it the other day. Tigalero. Lyrics. Okay. I didn't want to go to that. I want to go to. And I'm not going to try to rap it. I don't want to. Okay, here we go. This verse is so dope. It's dope as fuck. But he said, I'm not going to rap it. I done seen so many love stories begin with one shorty bear on your couch. Now she airing you out in 140s. It seemed perfect. Now you're out here feeling distressed. She wasn't perfect. You just didn't know her shit yet. And that's the case for anybody whose look fat. Oh, shit. See, that's why I don't. And that's the case for anybody whose looks fascinate. Got to go past the face or you just might end up with a basket case. Yikes. They all campaigning to run for your life like that, y'all. Yeah, it's what is that record? Where this is the record. This is Through the Night. Yeah, just like, man, this is so, this album, well, Fonte is an incredible, he's in my top five, so you guys know that, he's one of the greats, and he's just, like, talking about relationships and stuff, and, like, you know, man, guy running out and cheating and shit like that. He's always been that dude who's like, take your ass home, take your ass home and be a family man. Don't, it ain't nothing out there in the streets, and it's just cause her, just cause she looks good, and don't risk it all, basically. And Ime, that shit was just fucked up. I mean, he broke a rule, so he really should be fired. He could be fired by Boston. And I know there was another guy or something that did some shit. I'm not even gonna go into all of that, but he was. He was white or something like that, and that dude wasn't the head coach, the face of the organization. And there's rules in place to where you're not supposed to do that stuff and fraternize with the subordinates or anybody really in the organization. And he got suspended. So I don't know if I really don't know if this dude will coach in the league again. It's not just breaking a rule of the company you work for, and you got people, and I'm not trying to be like a I'm not trying to be like all woke about shit and like you treat women right. You should treat women right. You should treat everybody right. But it's this thing where these people on social media and YouTube, like, I think they just hate women. So they'll just like come out and just jump to his defense where it's like, dude, you did something wrong. The marriage thing, that's between you and your woman. That's the agreement that you made with your wife. That's like some August Wilson shit. Like this agreement that me and your mama had. That's an agreement that the two of these people had and you broke that shit. And that's between y'all. It ain't got shit to do with me. But when it comes to this organization that you work with, you did something with somebody's, you broke a rule that the organization had and you have to be punished. And they're making it a race thing. And obviously, I'm not blind to the fact that he is a black man and the rules are different. It's the two Americas thing that we always bring up. And it's true. But like, clearly this guy's wrong. That's why Matt Barnes like deleted his post about it a week or two ago. And it was so bad. When stuff comes out, maybe that whatever we know currently is going to be, it's going to be even worse than what we currently know. But that's why Matt Barnes had to come out with another video. And somebody on Twitter said, you know, basically Matt Barnes was like, hey, I was wrong about what I said. It's really messy. It's messier than I thought. It's really bad. And then people were saying that he was like breathing hard. Like a hostage. He's like, oh, this is really bad. You know, guys, it's just, you know, so it's just all messed up. And this made me think of this time where when I was a kid and my late great dad, this was around the time where Halle Berry was married to David Justice. I think they were married. Let me see. And Halle Berry is another beautiful black actress that I grew up, you know, obviously mesmerized by her beauty. She's also very talented. So she's married to David Justice, like, and from 93 to 97. And I remember when I think they were having problems. I was a kid. I was probably like, I had to be 13. And I think they had some problems, marriage problems. And it's like, and I remember saying, like, why did they break up or something? Why are they, what's wrong? Like, that's Halle Berry. And my dad would just laugh at me. It's just like basically just this knowing laugh that it's just like, it's not just about how this person looks. It's like who, you know, it's just because people are beautiful doesn't mean that they're perfect. And the two beautiful people like David Justice and Halle Berry, it don't always work, you know. But yeah, it's unfortunate. I was reading a thing where like Shaq basically, it was like a headline where Shaq was just like, man, I hope they both don't lose their family. I hope they don't lose each other. Cause when I cheated on my wife, you know, that's what happened to me. And so that's a nice look at that. That's a nice perspective to have, you know? But I just, this is a situation that makes me just wish that racism didn't exist, because it's just like, it's the same thing as that, like, black men are that Rod tweeted out years ago, where it's like, black men are the white men of black people. And it's just like, we in that pursuit of whiteness sometimes, or just like equality, we just want it to be, how come we can't rape like they rape? That's what it seems like to me. How come we can't be pieces of shit like they're pieces of shit? So if that, it's almost like if racism and that stuff didn't exist, we could try to be on the road to being just better people. But racism is never going to end. But it's like, you can't let, you can't let whiteness erode your humanity. And even though it's hard, because you can't let whiteness in the pursuit of equality erode morals. And it's hard. I'm human. I fall short all the time. But that just, every time, it's like with Cosby and like Weinstein, it's like this comparison. It's always this comparison to somebody white, like, and looking to them to be like, it's just fucking weird. It's a concept that I've been thinking about for a long time, but it's just like, how come we can't rape like they rape? I mean, R. Kelly, you know, he's in jail, but Weinstein got in jail, but it wasn't as harsh as his, you know, these guys rape. How come I can't be a piece of shit just like them? And I'm saying that obviously that I know that we get treated worse when we fuck up. That's inherent to me. But it just seems to be this cycle over and over when you have these black celebrities, people in these high profile jobs, when they just do things that humans do. You know, you can just go down the line from Tiger Woods to now this. And this guy's been like, first of all, he's been this journeyman NBA player. And he's like, he just been a dude that's like good enough at basketball to have a career and then become a coach. And you're not even that great as a player and you land Nia Long. Like that's you when the, even though the Celtics didn't win the championship this past season, I was like looking at him when the Celtics got to the finals, and I'm just like looking at they showed a shot of Nia Long celebrating. I'm like, no matter what happens with the Celtics, Ime Udoka has already won. And I just looked at it like that. It's like, I'm rooting for him, black coach, first year. He's obviously an incredible coach to take a team that has that talent, that young talent, to the championship and come close to winning. Not really come close. Golden State will give you opportunities, but they're a veteran team. So, you know, those guys know how to play together. They've been there before. But to take it to that level and in your first year when nobody else could, it's pretty that's remarkable. So he obviously has the skill and talent to do that. And, you know, somebody said that they, you know, I think it might have been Randolph, I think, that said, like, you know, someone that said, like, these guys needed a grizzled veteran guy to get them over the hump. And that's who he was, you know. They had Brad Stevens, they had Doc Rivers for a little bit, you know. No, but he was there. I'm trying to think who they had back when Tatum and them came. Anyway, they had the talent and nobody could get them there. Kyrie probably fucked up some of that chemistry. But, you know, it's sad all around. You just kind of feel bad. But I know that what's the government official guy? What's the government official guy? What is his name? I took a screenshot of the tweet of that guy shooting his shot. Shit, where is it? You guys know who I'm talking about. It's old now. Oh, man. Nope, that's not it. Damn it. Gosh darn it. Oh, it's Jamal Bowman, U.S. House candidate, sending nothing but love to Nia Long. We're not letting a man who didn't recognize the luxury her presence was dim all her beauty and glory. Matter of fact, we need a Nia Long holiday. Yeah, so everybody was laughing at him for like shooting his shot, but you know, I mean, go for it. You know, J. Cole had a line where he talked about Nia Long, and you know, it is what it is, man. People are shooting a shot. Nia Long will be all right. She's a strong woman and she'll be fine. Don't worry, Nia. You'll be fine. And I hope they get through it. I'm sure they'll, you know, it's just not a good look for all this stuff to happen in public. It's pretty bad, and I think, you know, maybe more will come out, but you know, it sucks. Shakur Stevenson, I fell asleep on my couch on Friday. I was watching TV and I fell asleep watching Syracuse and Virginia play football. And then I woke up to this Shakur Stevenson fight. Shakur Stevenson is this great boxer from Newark, and kind of got me a little bit back into watching boxing. I remember a couple years ago getting ESPN, the ESPN app, because I saw his story and he had a fight coming up or something. And I was like, oh, this guy looks really interesting. And he's this featherweight boxer. And I was like, okay. And I think now he's a super featherweight. And he like gained a couple pounds. So I think he'll have to go over. I think he'll have to go to the next weight class. And just a really interesting dude, flamboyant boxer, just like, you know. So I was like, oh, this guy seems cool. I remember getting that ESPN subscription because he was doing like a fight that I think I wanted my dad to see or something like that, and I liked him. He's so good that he's just kind of like boring because he's like very technically sound and just a really talented boxer. And when I was younger, I watched a lot of boxing with my dad, pay-per-view stuff, and what was really into it. I think I probably talked about this on the show. I at least have brought this up when the homie Morgan Campbell was on the show, just talking about how like I kind of lost interest after Roy Jones lost. He lost a fight, and then like I think Pernell Whitaker might have lost to what's the pretty boy, the golden boy. What's his name? Oh my God. Golden Boy boxer. Oscar De La Hoya. I think, yeah. Something happened and I just kind of got like, just kind of got bummed out about it all. Favorite boxer loses, and you know. So he kind of got me back into it, and I just watched it. And as I was waking up, he was starting to fight, and I was like, oh, cool. So I watched that, and that was good. Just wanted to shout him out because that was a good – it's a good fight. You could just see how really good he was. And it just kind of reminded me of my dad, like watching stuff with him. And he would see things that he would say stuff before the announcers would say it. And like you said, oh, he heard him right there. And then the announcer said, oh, he hurt this guy with that, you know, with that left hand, you know. My dad was, he really like analyzed. He was a great guy. He knew his shit. He knew stuff. You know, so that was cool. And there's some other stuff I want to talk about. I want to talk about some, you know, I went into one of these Amazon Fresh stores just to check it out. You know how I am about grocery stores and stuff. They opened up one in Paramus, and I was out with somebody. I was on a date and I was driving around, and I saw one in another town. But there was one in Paramus, not far from me, where there used to be this grocery store called Fairway, and they have them in the city. There's at least one more in the city, I think, and they tried them out in Jersey, and this one closed down. That place was really expensive. They had nice stuff, but it was expensive, and Amazon took over, and it's like one of those like. They made the joke about it. They did a sketch on SNL about it where you don't have to take out your wallet. You just scan yourself in on your Amazon app and you just pick up your groceries and you can just like leave. You leave. And how the sketch is like how the black people were like scared to leave. They want to, cause they didn't want to get arrested or anything like that. So that was really funny. And it made me think of that. Because they did do it, and I just bought a couple things. I just wanted to walk around the store and see what they had. They had some pretty good stuff. Some things were expensive, and then I felt like basically, okay, my mom she likes this Sara Lee pound cake. You know, the Sara Lee pound cake that's frozen, and she likes that. And you can eat it with ice cream or fruit or something like that. And I used to really like it as a kid. And I think it's like $5.99. I was like, that kind of expensive? I was like, I'm not going to get that here. But I looked at, the next day or a couple days later, I was at ShopRite and it was more expensive. It was like, might've been like $6 and something. Anyway, you know what it is about grocery stores? Some things they have that are more expensive than other stores. So you just kind of have to do your shopping. And if you're just in a pinch, you just get it there because they have it. You know how it is. But I just use that as an example where it's like some stuff is like, oh, that's way too fucking expensive here. It was okay. I think I bought a couple, like, I think some juice and one of those sandwiches that they had because I was working from home and I didn't want to get anything. I wanted to just have something for lunch, something quick. Sandwich wasn't that good. I don't know, like maybe I'll go back, but I've ordered stuff from there for my mom and they do have good quality stuff. Like they'll send like groceries and stuff you can send. You know, you can get it online. They had some pretty, it's okay. But I don't think it's really going to, I don't know. I guess maybe they'll do more of those in cities. And it seems like from what I've read that they might start doing that in more like cities and stuff like that. But I don't think it's better than a Wegmans or anything. But some of the stuff that they have is good quality. I would probably try, you know, maybe if they had like their baked chicken, they have a salad bar. It's essentially some of the same things. Since Amazon bought Whole Foods, it's pretty good. You know what I mean? And Whole Foods is a place where you don't buy all your shit. Most people I know don't buy all of their groceries at Whole Foods. I'm not at that level where I'm a day player and on TV shows. So I'm not and a dude with a day job, you know what I mean? So I'm not buying all that stuff. But if I do, like at Whole Foods, I like some of their prepared foods. Whatever they call those pastries that they call a Jamaican beef patty are really good. The homie Leonard Brothers had taken a picture of the beef patties from Trader Joe's, and he said those are pretty good. The next time I go to Trader Joe's, I would like to try those. I'd like to get some. But Trader Joe's here in Jersey, it's like a shit show. It's always packed. No matter what you do, it's always packed in there. But it is what it is. But certain things, like I think Whole Foods has really good meat, and some of their prepared foods are good. I just told you. The Jamaican beef patties are good. Sometimes I get like four of them and I freeze them in case like I, you know, just want them. And, you know, they're pretty tasty, I'd say, folks. And their ground beef is good. So I do, you know, there's certain things that I get from Whole Foods. And now that people say COVID doesn't exist anymore. You know, their hot bar is pretty good. I got vaxxed. I got the second booster shot, you guys. Get it. Don't be like one of these people that are, I don't know, I'm not even going to say it. I'll just say RIP Coolio, man. Let's get into some TV. This monster, this Dahmer Netflix thing, this show, I think it's very good. It's very disturbing. I know, you know, the critics are bashing it. There's woke people. These woke libs are getting on social media and they're talking shit about it and they're lowering the ratings. But it's well acted, man. Evan Peters, I know him mainly. I know he's done a lot of Ryan Murphy stuff like the American Horror Story and stuff like that, which I'm not aware of because I have not seen those. I hear they're very campy and a lot of people like them, but I am a fan of Ryan Murphy's like the OJ story, the Andrew Cunanan and the assassination of Gianni Versace, that story, that's you know, that series that he did, and I need to finish the impeachment one that he did with Beanie Feldstein. Really good. I just lost track of things while that was on, but that's very good. Evan Peters, man, and I know him from Mayor of Easttown. That's where I kind of came in, you know, he came into my purview. My goodness, he is fucking good in this. That motherfucker disappeared in that shit, and it's not an easy watch. It's pretty dark, and and I know a lot of the, you know, I've been reading and hearing stuff about his victims. The victims' families are really upset about it. But I mean, this isn't the first time that, you know, this is what society does. You know, we collectively love these true crime dramas, these true crime stories, these true crime podcasts. I mean, you have a comedy show, Only Murders in the Building, is like, you know, basically a take on that, you know, kind of making fun of these people loving these shows and shit. So much so that the people that love these shows are trying to create their own, you know, problems. You know what I'm talking about. We love this shit. Serial, all that. And it's not the first time that, that this has been done, you know, and it's and I could understand family being upset about it. Even with Mike Tyson, that Hulu series that was on that I thought was pretty solid. Mike Tyson wasn't a fan of that, but he's a public figure. People make stories about biographies all the time that are unauthorized. They do it all the time. You know, I don't know why people seem to be so surprised about it, and people are being real sanctimonious about, you know, about trying to say, you know, this is real. This really happened. You know, you should be mindful of. I'm just gonna take in what I see was being produced, and what I choose to watch is what I choose to watch. And you know, I did watch this. And I think that, you know, episode 6, I believe it's called Silence. That's some of the best fucking TV I've seen in my life, I'd have to say. And I tweeted that, folks. It's really good. This kid that plays, I believe, his 12th victim. Let me see. I think it's, Tony Hughes, and this kid that plays him, Rodney Buford, was it was incredible. It's incredible storytelling. It humanized it. I think they humanize a few of his victims, but this one in particular, this dude was a deaf and gay. And he's trying to find his place in the world, and it was struck down by Jeffrey Dahmer, this heinous monster of a criminal. And it was just a beautiful performance, and it really made you feel for these people. I mean, I think that he did that with Ryan Murphy did that with one of the victims on the Andrew Cunanan and the Versace series that he did, you know. But man, props to this guy Rodney Buford, who was on this show called Deaf U, but I believe that was a reality series that's on Netflix, that was a reality series about young people, deaf and hard of hearing people living their lives in at Gallaudet. Is Gallaudet Gallaudet's a university in DC. And it's really good. It was really, really good, man. And that performance of his was just, it was a really sweet performance. It was just, he was just really fucking good. And it just, it's heartbreaking. So, man, that's got to be up there with some of the best TV I've ever seen. It's a hard watch. I mean, you know, it's one of those reasons why you often hear me say, I need a show that's a palate cleanser. Like you kind of get bogged down with people raping and killing each other. And I know I talk about my favorite video game is about a dude chopping people's heads off with a machete. They're men, they're humans and infected people. But like, you know, I know, you know, we kind of live in a world of hypocrisy on a lot of levels, but a lot of times, you know, there's a time for all of it, you know, as far as entertainment is concerned. But it's always nice to have, you know, you hear me talk about these palate cleanser shows like a Community, or I think that's why a lot of people go back to the Community, The Office, Parks and Rec, or, well, you know, somebody's not going to be in danger, or, you know, in that way. Like a Reservation Dogs, even though there's obviously trauma in a show like Reservation Dogs, and they handle it really fucking beautifully in this finale episode that just came out this past week. There's still drama, there's still pain, there's still trauma that characters are dealing with, and that's life though. And I'm trying to belittle anybody's human experience of actually having to lose someone like Tony Hughes, but it's a beautiful thing that art can do, is make people feel and make people aware of the ineptitude of the Milwaukee Police Department. This guy is preying on these black and brown people that society doesn't care about, and they definitely don't care about that subset of those people who are homosexual, and killing these folks and not doing anything about it. Somebody joked on Twitter, on Facebook somewhere, that was like, oh yeah, you know, the police say, hey, they come up to Jeffrey, hey man, what are you doing? Oh, you know, just having some gay sex. And then the people in the police are like, okay, we'll leave you to that gay sex, you fucking degenerate. And they leave him alone and they let him do whatever he did. And it shines a light on that. And you see that through the Niecy Nash character. I want to say this woman's name, who she portrayed. Make sure I got that right. I didn't know I was going to go this in depth with it. So I just wanted to, let me see, cast. Oh man, I thought is it Glenda? Let me see. Sorry guys. Glenda Cleveland. Yeah. Niecy Nash. Let me just see what's up with this. This is from, I don't know how, let me just see. Niecy Nash on honoring the legacy of Glenda Cleveland and Dahmer. I just want to see what, I believe this is her. Let me just make sure. There's a YouTube clip of her talking about it too. So I don't know, but let me see. This looks like this is her quote here. And this is from Digital Trends. When you hear the different things that happen What's wrong with you, Chris? Oh gosh, this is a great episode, guys. When you hear the different things that happen with regards to Jeffrey Dahmer and his victims, Glenda was one of his victims too, and her story has been told the least, said Nash in an interview with Netflix. Heavy is the head that wears the crown to tell this story, specifically through Glenda's lens, as it had never been done before. So that comes with a lot of responsibility because you want to make sure you get it right. And I think that's what they attempted to. And a lot of people may not like it, but I think that's one of the things that I find like the beauty in art is what I just said. You can shine the light on these people who suffered and who endured this bullshit to make sure that, like, you know, that something like this doesn't happen again. You know, it can be an agent. Art can be an agent to change just as well as activism too. You know what I mean? Let alone, you know, also it's entertaining too, but I wanted to highlight that, not necessarily in a defense to the naysayers and the critics, but you know, it's something that I kind of just felt was inherent, but sometimes you need to highlight things like that too, because sometimes people are dumb. But also, I mentioned Reservation Dogs. I think if you're not watching that show, you should be. It's terrific. The finale was fantastic. It's almost like the series could have ended with that finale. But I believe they're coming back for season 3, so I think they'll have some other good stories to tell. But that's a terrific show. Atlanta's great, and a lot of people are saying that this last episode was one of the best in the series. I don't know about that, because I still think, I almost feel like you have to put that show, certain episodes, in categories. When it's like, is this a straightforward episode? Is this like an anthology type thing? You got to kind of put your best in that. Then, you know, I think which is one of my favorites is FUBU. And you don't see any of the main. You see a version of them as their younger selves with Earn, with regards to Earn and Al. But to me, that was one of my favorites. But then there's ones that are like straightforward, funny as hell. I don't know. It's hard to put that show in a box, you know, but we'll see when it's all said and done. That's a show that's like fun to go back to and like revisit the series, which I did after season 3 was over, and it'll be good to do that again, but I want to see how they finish it out. They got what? So they got 4, so maybe 6 episodes left, I want to say. It's a fantastic show. So that I'm looking forward to everything they're doing, but obviously when the characters are, you know, in Atlanta, when it's just these characters and they're dealing with their day-to-day stuff, it's to me, that's where the heart is. That's where the meat and potatoes are. And you just got evidence of that, you know, this past week. So I think that's what people are just kind of were hungry for after season 3, which I thought was great. But, you know, a lot of people had the need for what we got, you know, this past week. So I get it. Talk about a little music. The new Freddie Gibbs album sold separately. I like it. It just came out yesterday, so I didn't really get. I gave it a listen. I listened to it when I was getting ready for my show, and then I listened to it in the car. It passes the car test, like driving around. I don't know that I like it better than Bandana or Alfredo, but it's still good. He's got this record called Too Much by Moneybagg, with Moneybagg Yo, who I've heard of him, but I never heard him rap. And he's on this record that goes really fucking hard. I think that to me, that feels like that's the hardest record on there, because I was driving up 95 earlier this week. And I was let me listen to this, because he had two of the records out, two singles out prior to the release yesterday, and I was like, "Ooh, this Too Much record goes hard." So I was like, "Okay, yeah, that's like a walk. That's walk on music. Too Much is to me. I'd walk up to that. That was hard. So I like it, but I just haven't like investigated it. You know, like gave it a listen. Haven't listened that hard to it. So It is good because I like Freddie Gibbs, and I think I told you guys about this movie that he did earlier in the year called Down with the King. I might have watched it a couple months ago, but he plays a version of himself that's trying to finish his album, and I think he goes upstate and he's like kind of chilling and he's working on some songs, and some of the songs that he's doing on that, like, it's like these little scenes, like these kind of like these little interstitial things where he's doing it, working on some music, and that shit is fucking incredible. But I don't know if he's putting that out or what, but those songs are just awesome. Just like God, this is fucking crazy. But I don't know if he's released those. But yeah, Freddie Gibbs, one of my he just kind of grew on me in recent years. And I know he's been around for quite some time, but the last few projects he's put out, just like a string of like really, it's like this kind of been going on for like four. It's like a stretch of like just high quality material for the past like 5 years, and you don't really see a lot of artists doing that. Just like really strong, at least the stuff I've been paying attention to. Like I think he's just put out some strong stuff. Let's talk about some movies and get out of here. I saw Don't Worry, Darling, and this movie is has a lot of controversy surrounding it. I'll talk about some more movies over on Patreon, but man, Don't Worry, Darling has been shrouded in controversy based on the outside stuff, and you've heard it everywhere. I'll read you the blurb about this. I'll read the Google blurb for shits and giggles. Here we go. In the 1950s, Alice and Jack live in the idealized community of Victory, an experimental company town that houses the men who work on a top secret project. While the husbands toil away, the wives get to enjoy the beauty, luxury, and debauchery of their seemingly perfect paradise. However, when cracks in her idyllic life begin to appear, exposing flashes of something sinister lurking below the surface, Alice can't help but question exactly what she's doing in Victory. This movie stars Florence Pugh and Harry Styles, and it's directed by Olivia Wilde. This is her second outing since the hit movie Booksmart. Controversy aside, I was highly entertained by this movie. I enjoyed it, actually. My expectations, you know, when I saw the trailer for this one, I was like, oh, this looks good. And it's Olivia Wilde. She's not doing so. Booksmart was a comedy, and she's switching genres into like an interesting, I don't know what it is, but now, you know, it's like a sci-fi thing. I gave it three stars on Letterboxd, and I almost wanted to give it like 3.5. And I think maybe on second viewing, my score might go up, but I was highly entertained by this. I just thought things fell apart in the third act. Like once you understand what's going on, it's like I wanted to see more of the thing. And once you find out what's going on, you just say like, okay, this is what it is. So it's kind of like, it's a mishmash. It's a goulash, a mishmash, an amalgam of all these different movies, like The Stepford Wives, a little bit of Get Out, a little bit of Black Mirror, a little bit of Black Mirror's San Junipero, all rolled into one. I don't know that I want to spoil this, but it's just like this film, it seems like it has like a lot of axes to grind, and they grind them pretty well because it's almost like a commentary. It's a commentary on on men obviously being pieces of shit. A little bit of the gaslighting and stuff like that. Women's what a woman's role should be. A little bit of racism there. It's a lot, and it's trying to be a commentary on it. You know what it is? It's almost like how it's not as epic as a She Hate Me, and I don't want to put it in that territory, really, but it just reminded me of when I think of, like, people wanting to grind a lot of axes, I always go back to that movie because I think it's, like, I think She Hate Me is very good, but I understand why a lot of people don't like it. But I understand what Spike was doing because it was a lot of shit that he wanted to say. But it's just like, I felt like as a science fiction movie, Don't Worry, Darling, they just didn't stick the landing. But it's still good. And I think Olivia Wilde is a highly competent director. Because it's almost like she's been getting shit on in the press. And rightfully so for some of the stuff that she's been saying, and the homie, the stuff she was saying about Shia, and then Shia pulled out those receipts, and not only did he pull out receipts, he pulled out video of her, you know, trying to get him back on the film. I think if Shia was in this, I think Shia LaBeouf is a better actor than Harry Styles right now. Apparently, Harry Styles is in this film called My Policeman that's supposed to come out pretty soon, where he plays a closeted cop in the UK somewhere, and that's supposed to be really good. You know, we'll see. But that's been getting a lot of buzz. I think Shia makes this a different film, and I think it might be a little more grounded. But I think this movie's really good. And maybe when somebody's on, like I always say, if we get Veronica or somebody who's seen this, you know, we'll go into more depth with this. But I do recommend it. And then the production value of it is exquisite. Like Matthew Liabatique, who's shot a lot of stuff for Spike Lee, shot some stuff for Darren Aronofsky. Is it Liabatique or Liabatique? Let me make sure I got that right. I think it's Liabatique. Matthew Liabatique. He's done Black Swan, Iron Man, Requiem for a Dream, Iron Man 2, Mother, A Star is Born, Birds of Prey, Venom, Straight Outta Compton, Inside Man, this new movie with Brendan Fraser that's getting buzzed, Darren Aronofsky flick, The Whale, Ruby. I didn't know he did Ruby Sparks. He's done a ton of films. Amazing cinematographer. That is a beautiful film with a lot of sheen on it. They just didn't stick the landing, and I've seen this movie, and it's the script, and I think they had too many chefs in the kitchen on the script. They had three writers: Shane Van Dyke, Carrie Van Dyke, and Katie Silberman. What are these other folks? So Shane Van Dyke, I don't know any of these other films, other than Don't Worry, Darling. But and then Carrie Van Dyke, the same ones. But this woman, Katie Silberman, wrote Booksmart, this rom-com Set It Up that came on Netflix with Lucy Liu and Taye Diggs and Zoe Deutsch. And then Isn't It Romantic? That was fun. That was a fun movie with this girl, with Rebel Wilson. That was a cute, like, rom-com. So she has some shit with it. Like, she's done some good shit. I don't know about these other guys, and I don't know whose voice won out. I just know those two, the Van Dyke boys. They had the same last name. I don't know what happened, but I know the script. I just had issues with the script, and I think that's where it fell apart towards the end, where it could have been a little more of an examination of why they're. There's certain things that are left unsaid. You don't have to explain everything, but it's like you get a glimpse into it. It's like, oh, that's fascinating. And you kind of want to explore some of those things. But man, I feel like this is still an above average film. There're just parts of it that didn't work. And then with all this drama around it, you wonder what Shia LaBeouf would do, how it would be different. Because I think about him, you know, with his bullshit, with his stuff that he's going through, you know, that's not great, you know. And we think about this as a talented actor, you know, he's a very talented actor. And like his performance in what's the movie that Brandon and Justin and I reviewed with my girl Vanessa Kirby? Pieces of a Woman, with that performance that he has in that was great. And you just think about, like, man, if he wasn't in all that trouble, like, I mean, he low-key could have got a nomination. So I think in this one, if he was in this film, it would be a lot different, but you'd still have that third act to deal with. And I didn't realize something until I read, you know, you watch one of those ending explains, and then you read somebody who writes a very good plot summary of the film. You're like, oh, so that was solidified. What I thought happened did happen, or did this. You know, I don't know. But now we're getting to that time of year where, you know, my favorite time of the year, it's the most wonderful time of the year when it comes to all these movies coming out and these Oscar movies coming out with Oscar buzz and all that jazz. You know, you got to come with it. You got to come with that heavy artillery. And you can't leave anything on the table. I don't know that this gets you. I mean, shit, production design, cinematography, those might get some nominations. But Florence Pugh, and my God, I forgot. I mean, she's the anchor of this film and everything goes through her. And she is incredible. I mean, she's one of the best young actors going right now. She's one of the best. She's at the top of her game in this. She's phenomenal. And that performance, you know, is, you know, I knew when, after I saw Midsommar, she's fantastic. If you want to see a performance by an actress at a high level, go see Florence Pugh in Don't Worry, Darling. She's great. It's that to the point where it's just like, if when she's in something, I'll most likely go see it. And to be honest with you, when Olivia Wilde is directing something, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to see it. In my book, even though I didn't like this third act, she's two for two. She's good. I'll be checking for her and what she does. You know, I don't really give a shit about the, it's always funny to see that shit. It's the Hollywood bullshit, the gossip, I'm not going to say I don't indulge in that, but it is pretty interesting and you get swept up in it, but she is very capable, at pointing the camera at what she needs to point it at and putting it together. She's good. So I'll be checking for the stuff that she does. All right, folks. I think that's it. I think you've listened to me talk. You've listened to me ramble enough. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show over the years and supporting the show just by, you know, plugging it in, plugging those headphones in, those earbuds, you know, and listening to me talk on these solo episodes, listen to the many conversations that I've had. And I hope to give you some more, and I hope you enjoy it and continue to support. You can support by signing up on Patreon. That helps a lot. And again, thank you for listening, and I will talk to you all next time. Take it easy, everybody.